You have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Our theme for the year is to believe God. What does believe God mean? Well, it means we want to believe God is who he says he is, and then believe that God will always do what he says he will do, which really means then that we can place our faith and our trust in him. We can place our faith and trust in his word. We can believe his word. This morning, I want us to define this belief, this faith in our amazing God by looking at, as Pastor Beck read earlier, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, under 3 points. And our points will be faith's definition, which we see in verse 1. And then we have faith's enablement, verse 2. And then we have faith's understanding, and that is found in verse 3. As the story goes, a man despairing of life had climbed the railing of the Brooklyn Bridge in New York, and he was about ready to jump to his death into the East River when a policeman caught him by the collar and pulled him back. The man protested, "Please, please let me jump. You don't understand how miserable and how hopeless my life is." Well, the officer responded, "I'll make a proposition to you. You take 5 minutes and tell me why life is hopeless, not worth living, and then I'll take 5 minutes to tell you why life is worth living for both of us. And then if you still feel like jumping from the bridge, I won't stop you." Well, this would-be suicide jumper took his 5 minutes. The officer took his 5 minutes, then they both stood up, joined hands, and jumped together into the East River. Friends, a person living apart from Christ sooner or later realizes the emptiness and the hopelessness of life. In fact, emptiness and hopelessness are really all the world can ultimately offer. But for the Christian, there is an actual reason for hope. And that confidence is found in believing God and his word. 1 Peter 1:3 declares that we have been born again. We have been born again to a living hope. Our hope is alive. And frankly, the amount of hope, our hope is equal to the extent of our faith, which means a deep faith generates a profound hope. And let me say that again. A deep faith generates a profound hope. Friends, faith produces hope. If you want to live a hopeless life, then don't believe God. Don't believe his word. If you want to live a hope-filled life, believe God and his word. Now, throughout Scripture, we are encouraged to live by faith. For example, Habakkuk 2:4, Hebrews 10:38, Galatians 3:11, all confirm that the just shall live by faith. And again, when we walk by faith, our faith produces hope. And our hope produces perseverance. And how we see this steadfastness lived out in the grand examples of the heroes of the faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Well, this morning to launch our 2023 theme for Westside, we want to look first at faith's definition, which is spelled for us in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which tells us faith is not some sentimental feeling. It's not some bare belief or intellectual understanding. Rather, faith rests on the truth of God's word, which then impacts our perspective of the future and of the unseen. And first, faith brings assuring hope to the future. You know, sometimes when, and I think oftentimes, when we look down the road, when we look into our future, so to speak, we can become very anxious. Lord, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me in 2023? But faith brings assuring hope to the future. The Greek word used here for hope for means that which stands under, that which is foundational, that which has substance. And so faith gives substance to our hopes. Faith gives assurance that what we hope for is true, is real. It will come to pass. It will take place. It is guaranteed. Faith brings future to life. So let me say that again. Faith brings future to life. Now, what are some future things we hope for? Well, how about Christ's second coming? Titus calls it our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. How about the resurrection? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And how about our reign with Christ? 2 Timothy 2:12 reminds us, if we suffer with him, we also shall reign with him. Friends, a believer's faith gives assurance that these future events, Christ's return, the resurrection, our glorification, a place in heaven, and the coming reign of Christ will all come to pass. I look forward to those events with hope. I mean, these events are coming. And when you have faith, you see the reality of these events even affecting your life now. Remember that verse, those verses in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, how does it affect us? We want to live pure. It purifies us even as he is pure. What a sanctifying effect this faith-filled hope has on our hearts. Friends, a believer's faith gives total assurance that these future events will come to pass. One author writes, faith gives to the objects of hope the force, I love this, of present realities. And it enables the person of faith to enjoy the full certainty that in the future these realities will be experienced. I don't like death. I mean, death is something we avoid like the plague. But death is real. It happens. I mean, maybe this time next year, there might be several of us who have experienced death. But what hope we have when our faith is in the one who has conquered death. What hope we have when our faith is in the one who says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? What staying power then comes to a life when through faith the promises of God become present realities? Church history records a man who was brought before a judge during the early days of persecution, and he said to the judge that nothing he could do to him would steal his faith. The judge asked, do you really think that you will go to God in his glory? To which the man responded, I do not think, I know. Friends, faith is being sure of what we hope for. And how that guarantee, how that certainty keeps us going. It keeps us pressing on. It keeps us denying ourselves. It keeps us taking up our cross and following Jesus. Oh, may we know Christ's second coming, our future resurrection and glorification are real. Friends, faith enables us to see the future through God's eyes. Amen? God's eyes. the second definition of faith is also found in verse 1. Faith is being certain of what we do not see. The text says it is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, it's the conviction of things not seen, which means it enables us to see with certainty the invisible order around us. And specifically, what do we see? Well, as we have said, we see the future because it is made present to us through faith, and we see the invisible spiritual kingdom around us. Like Jacob, we see God's ministering spirits. If you have your Bibles open, turn to Genesis 28. I know you're familiar with this story of what happened when Jacob dreamed a dream. Verse 12 says, "And behold, as he dreamed a dream, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it." Verse 16, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not.' And he was afraid, and he said, 'How dreadful.'" And really that word can be, "How awesome is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Jacob saw by faith the invisible. And what was his response? "This is where God resides. This is the gate of heaven." Friends, Jacob saw the unseen spiritual order. And so not only do we see God's angels through faith, as Jacob did, but, and let me add this, we also see the living Christ. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We see the one who has given us faith through eyes of faith. And what does Jesus enable us then to do? To keep on keeping on. To persevere, because what did he do? He endured the cross. He despised its shame. Friends, faith gives us, and I know I'm being redundant, but I'm trying to make a point. Faith gives us hope. It gives us assurance for the future and sight to what we don't presently physically see. And so we can be like Abraham, whose faith enabled him to put his stock in the future heavenly country. And we can be like Moses, whose faith enabled him to see him who is invisible. And so he was able to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Friends, this is faith defined. Which brings us to faith's enablement. And obviously, we've already talked about it. We've already touched on faith's enablement. Faith gives us hope. Hope gives us perseverance. But let me zero in a little bit more on this from verse 2. "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Because these ancients were so sure of what they hoped for, and they were so certain of the invisible, they lived dynamic lives. Their faith actively produced amazing living. Their lives were lived in such a way that they testified a good report." Think of men like Daniel. What a good report he had before King Nebuchadnezzar, King Darius. I think of his reputation before King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 48 of Daniel 2, "Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon." That's a pretty big deal, amen? "Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, over the affairs of the province of Babylon.' But Daniel sat in the gate of the king." You know, back in those days, when you sat in the gate of the king, you were one of the people in charge. This was where the council gathered. I think of the testimony Daniel had before King Darius in chapter 6. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Friends, why did Daniel have an excellent spirit? Why did he have a good report? Because he believed God. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we have no need to answer thee as far as bowing down before your idol that you have made. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, now worship the golden image which thou hast set up. How could they have the fortitude to say that? Because their faith was in God. Friends, they saw God more clearly than they saw King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he said, I answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. End of the chapter. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar said, I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I would say they had a good report. Amen? And we can say the future was present to their sight. Things unseen were visible to their eyes of faith. Oh, what a testimony these and all of the heroes of the faith had. And we could go through this whole 11th chapter of Hebrews. We don't have time to do it now, but by faith they offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a good report. He pleased God. Verses 7 and 8. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 33, who through faith subdued, these are some of the heroes of the faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed, in other words, became brave, valiant, and fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life. And all these having obtained a good report through faith. Faith enables the believing to obtain a good report, to live uprightly for the glory of God. Let me put it this way, to live in the supernatural. Do you know what it means to live in the supernatural? I think one of the reasons that Christianity is not as attractive to people as maybe it could be is because they don't see the miraculous occurring in our lives. They look at our lives and not a whole lot of difference between how they live and how we live. Young people do the same thing the world does. They don't take a stand for Christ. at work, we laugh at the same jokes, you know, kind of do the same thing. When the church doors are open, do our neighbors see us being faithful, getting in our cars, going to church? You know, coming back to church Sunday afternoon, I think that would get our neighbors' attention. Hey, this family not only goes to church Sunday morning, but they go to church Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. What about Wednesday? I'll tell you, it would get my attention if I saw my neighbor going to church three times a week. I'd say, hey, maybe God is real to that person, and maybe God is real. You know, but when they don't see much difference between how we live and how they live, then we don't have a good report. So how are we to impact our society? Where's the salt? Where's the light there? Friends, I think we are to abound in the work of the Lord. And frankly, I don't see across Christianity a lot of abounding. Are we abounding in the work of the Lord? A good report. We come now to our last point, and that's faith's understanding. And what does faith understand? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And when were the worlds framed by the word of God? Well, this took place when God simply commanded, "Let there be light." You know, chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis. The psalmist explained in Psalm 33, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood firm," or it stood fast. Now, we were not present when God spoke the universe into existence. But by faith we understand he did so. And so faith enlightens our understanding of the cosmos. It enables us to accept the things which we see were not made of things which do appear. In other words, that the world was made out of nothing. And friends, only faith can give us this understanding. And what a universe God simply spoke into existence. When physicist writes, "The universe is populated by at least 100 billion galaxies spread across the expanse of the universe, but not evenly spread out. In some areas, there are great voids, regions containing few galaxies. In other areas, there are clusters of galaxies together and even superclusters." He continues, "The Great Wall, discovered in 1989, is the largest structure in the universe with a huge concentration of galaxies. Another area of note is the Great Attractor. This mysterious region, only recently discovered, is so massive that it is pulling all other regions rapidly toward it." And we could go on and on and on. I've told you about the star named Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse is 746 times greater than our sun. Friends, the heavens do declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So what are we trying to say through this year's theme? Believe God. Believe God. I mean, I look at my life, and I'll tell you, if there's one area where I need to improve drastically, it's in believing God. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ needs a rebirth, or maybe I should say a birth of Hebrews 11. A faith that is defined by a dynamic twofold certainty. A future certainty that is so sure of what we hope for that it considers God's promises to be present, and a visual certainty that renders us certain of what we do not see. And such a faith then produces the divinely enabled living that these ancients were commended for in this chapter. And lastly, faith, certainty, and activism are crowned with an understanding of God's creatorship, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You say, well, why? Why would this be included? Why would creation be included in this theme of faith in Hebrews 11? Well, I believe it's so because belief in God, the Creator, is so important. It's part of faith's equation because we then must realize we have a responsibility to our Creator. We have a responsibility to submit to the potter, knowing that we are simply the clay. You know, if you don't believe in a creator, if you don't believe in God, then you don't believe that he had something to do with you and your life. Why should you acknowledge him? Why should you follow him? Why should you obey him? Why should you live for him? But when you realize he is your creator, and he has created the earth, the universe in which you reside, I think it kind of gives reason to say, well, maybe I need to follow him, live for him, believe him. And so, again, what is the personal benefit of all of this? Well, how about the will to persevere? You know, people are giving up all the time. They're quitting. They're quitting on God. But it gives us the will to persevere, to not quit, to not give up, to not throw in the towel, which then gives us the will to take the hand of the despairing around us and lead them away from the bridge of destruction to a life of assurance and confidence in God. For the sovereign God, they need to know, loves and cares for them, and he can carry them safely home. And so I ask, who can you, who can I lead away from the path of emptiness and hopelessness to the way of life and peace? You know, when we're living a life of hopefulness, of faith, a life of peace, then we can lead others to that same life. Friends, let's believe God. Let's believe that he is who he says he is. And that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. God can restore what is broken and change it into something amazing. All you have to do is have faith. Oh, may we see an amazing restoration of lives and hearts in 2023 because we believe God. And might this work of grace begin in me? Might this work of grace begin in you? Let me just say, you'll enjoy 2023 a lot more when your faith is in the living God. But first, we must all trust him to be our Savior. That's where it begins, to trust him, to believe in him. What did Paul tell the Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas responded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Might this be a year we lead people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because we are believing in him. I think of the song, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I speak the truth to you because I love you, and honestly, I want you to have a good report.